Take your Bible, if you will, and let's look at it again, Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, and we're going to talk about making wise decisions, and we're going to talk now tonight about how to walk with God. Now, the reason we're going to do that tonight is you cannot and should not make a decision apart from God and God's leading. In order to know God's leading, you have to know God's book, all right? Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. Now watch what it says. And after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God's original plan for making us is to be able to have fellowship with him, to be able to please him. And by the way, if you have never fellowshipped with him, you're missing the purpose of your life. God wants you to be able to fellowship with him. The Bible talks about two men in the Bible that had very high credibility in fellowshipping with God. You'll see one of those was Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And also Noah. The Bible talks about Noah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 9, the Bible says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And so you'll see that there was two men that had high credibility in walking with God. Now I want us to focus tonight about why it's so important to walk with God. The top three words on your to-do list ought to be walk with God. That ought to be the top thing that you do in the morning time. It's very important. It should hold an extreme importance in our life. Matter of fact, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, it says being made conformable unto his death. So he knew what it was to be able, he says the word fellowship, he says to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so he knew what it was to be able to walk with God. And may I say that walking with God is more important than anything you can do in life. You may say, well, I want to replace it with working in the nursery. No, a walk with God is more important than working in the nursery. It's more important than being an usher. It's more important than working on a bus route. It's more important than greeting somebody in a lobby area. It's more important than any song you could ever sing. It's more important than any lesson you could ever teach or any message you could ever preach. It's more important than being a deacon or a youth worker. Walking with God is essential. That is why God created you, was to be able to please him, and the way to please him is to be able to walk with him, to be able to understand what he would have you to do. Walking with God is the difference between building a relationship with your duty and building a relationship with the God of your duty. Now, it's one thing for somebody to say, well, I'm going to do this because duty demands it. It's another thing to say, I'm going to do this because I love the Lord, therefore I will perform my duty. There's a difference. Some people do stuff because they feel like they're forced to, because they feel like they have to. Then there's others that do things simply because they love the Lord, and that demands duty of performance. All right, let me give you some things tonight, okay? If you love your family, you should walk with God. If you love your family, you should walk with God. Here's interesting how the Holy Ghost put this in your Bible. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after, notice the significance of the word there, after he begat Methuselah, it says 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So understand this, that he thought that family was so important that he put God first. Now notice when it mentioned that he walked with God, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. There's something about walking with God before you have children, and there's a greater significance that comes in your life to walk with God after you have children. We begin to take on a greater responsibility. We feel like that we need to walk with God in a deeper way that we have children, because we need to figure out not only what the will of God is for our life and for the wife that we have, but also now for the children that we have. And so there's a greater significance to walking with God as a mom and as a dad or as a grandma, as a grandpa, than there ever was before. You know, Enoch walked with God. He saw the responsibility, and we must understand there's a responsibility to walk with God. Now, here's what the Bible says, that Enoch, if you will please, he walked with God. Now, by the way, that is footsteps that he took, and he took those footsteps after, the Bible says, after Methuselah. Now, I don't know what he did. I don't know how much he walked with God before he had children. I don't know. But the Bible does make it very clear that he did walk with God after he had children. There's something about having children that matures a person. There's something about having a family that makes you realize that, okay, I need to make the right decisions, because the decisions I'm about to make does not just involve me alone, but the decisions I'm about to make involves my wife. And then if you have children, it involves my children, all right? And so statement number one, if you love your family, you should walk with God. Statement number two, walking with God means that you're going somewhere. It means you're going somewhere. So when we walk with God, it means this. It means that we're heading somewhere. Notice Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, heard the voice of the Lord walking, walking. All right, so God is moving. God is moving forward. There's a motion that's involved here. So walking with God has to do with moving forward. By the way, the Bible doesn't say that Enoch stood still. Doesn't say that. The Bible talks about how Enoch walked with God. There's a movement there. He is going someplace. It implies that there's a growth that's involved. There's a higher calling, if you will, please. Oh, okay. All right. Now watch this. All right. And so I told Brother Jonathan, my son, I said, we're going to go stand in the garden. Now, what does he think we're going to do? We're going to go over to a garden, and what are we going to do? We're going to stand. But if I say, I want you to go on a walk with me, and we're going to walk around the garden, then he knows that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around the garden. See, there's a difference between standing and walking. When a person walks with God, there's action involved. A person that walks with God will want to walk farther with God. When you walk farther with God, that means you want to obey him more. When you want to obey him more, that means you're accomplishing something more in a forward direction. All right? So here's what we understand. We understand that if you love your family, you should walk with God. We understand walking with God means going somewhere. We also understand that walking with God means to give him your entire life. It should be a continual walk. Not something we do today and stop tomorrow. But it should be something continually. Okay? I received Christ when I was 18 years of age. When I was 18 years of age, I understood at that time the significance of owning a Bible and reading a Bible. I understood the significance of owning a Bible, reading a Bible, and letting a Bible direct my paths. I understood that. Okay? Now, nothing has changed in all those years since I was 18 years of age. Now, I will tell you this. My walk with God has become sweeter. My walk with God has become deeper. And every day when I read the Bible, it means more to me. And I'll tell you this, I get more out of the Bible today than I did when I was 18, or when I was in my 20s, or when I was in my 30s, or when I was in my 40s. I get more out of my personal walk with God in my 50s now than I ever got from God before. Now, why? Simply because it simply means this, that you give. Somebody asked Brother Hiles one day, how long did it take you to prepare that sermon? He said 42 years. Now, he'd been preaching for 42 years. And so he said it took 42 years. Now, can I tell you? I'm 52 years young, and every decision that I make has taken me 52 years to make it. There's 52 years of experience. There's 52 years of wisdom. There's 52 years of following men of God that were great men of God. There's 52 years of knowledge. There's 52 years, okay? All right, so what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that walking with God simply means this. You give him your entire life, not just a part of, but you give him everything that you do is based on the will of God. Everything you do is based on the knowledge of the Word of God. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, what does that mean, all? That means this. That means that whatever you do, there's a walk with God involved. He said, whatsoever you do, do all to the will of God. Do all to the glory of God. All right, so there's a will of God involved in everything that you do. It has to be, if you would please, it has to be the course that you take. It has to be a part of your life. It has to be, if you would please, inside the circle of God's will for your life. You're not keeping anything back from him. You've invited him into every room of your life. You've invited him to every area of your life. You don't touch nothing that is unclean because you know that that's not that which is pleasing to God. You don't bring anything in your life that's harmful because you know that would break the heart of God. A person, okay, when you fall deeply in love with someone, you don't want to hurt them. Is that right? Okay, the more deeply you are in love with someone, the less you want to see them hurt. So should that not be the way it is with God? If we are deeply in love with God, then here's what we say. God, whatever you say is no issue with me. God, I want to walk with you. I want it to be a forward walk. And I want to accomplish the greater whole to be able to see you have your will and your way in my life. So here's what you do. You invite him in every aspect of your life. You don't have any hidden corners. You don't have a hidden agenda. But you invite him in every aspect of your life. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, but have renounced, it says, the hidden things of dishonesty. So he says this, he said those hidden agendas, the hate, the jealousy, the pride, the just, or the unjust, the anger, the disloyalty, the rebellion. He said all those things that are hidden inside, he said we're going to denounce those things because those things betray dishonesty. Psalm 19 and verse 12, the Bible says, who can understand his errors? It says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. So what do? We look for those things and we say, God, you've got my entire life. There is no secrets before you. So God, I want you to dig deep on me. Now, by the way, walking with God will do that. Walking with God turns the flashlight on in every hidden area. Okay, it's like turning the flashlight on and all the roaches run. Okay, so how'd you know that? Brother Nash told me. All right, and so I'm saying this. I'm saying that a walk with God, here's what it does. A walk with God means your entire life. That's what it means. Charlie is with us in her house, and he gets up every morning, and I watch him. I watch him do this in Florida, by the way, and he tells me that it's still the same. Every morning, he gets up, and he's in his Bible every morning. Now, what is that? That is a walk, a continual going forward. Okay? All right? And so we're saying tonight that if you love your family, you should walk with God. Statement number two, walking with God means this. It means going somewhere. Statement number three, walking with God means to give your entire life. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All right, so I want everything to be acceptable. God, is this pleasing? God, is this pleasing? God, is this pleasing? God, does this please you? Is this what you want? God, you're in control of my life, and so God, what do you want? Statement number four, walking with God means living with God, means living with God. All right, here's what it says. John 15 in verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. It says, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. All right, the word abide simply means to live. It means to dwell. So here's what he says. He says that that word of God should abide. It should dwell inside of you. By the way, here, watch this. The more you walk with God, the more you know him. The more I walk beside Brother Wislowski, the more I know him. All right? The more I know him, the more I know about him. The more I know about him, the more I can figure him out. Is that right? Okay, the more you walk beside God, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you know about him. The more you know about him, are you ready? The more you can figure him out. Now, if I am created to please God, then my entire life should be walking with God so I can know him, so I can know more about him, so that I can figure him out, stay with me, so I can please him. That should be my entire life. My entire life should be wrapped up on God, how can I please you? My entire life should be wrapped around God, what can I do to please you? Now, I'm not supposed to get my eyes on someone else. I'm not supposed to get my eyes on a business. I'm not supposed to get my eyes on a popularity. I'm not supposed to get my eyes on anything but he and he alone. Now, if I get my eyes on he and he alone, here's what's going to take place. The more that I abide in the word, the more the word abides in me, the more the word abides in me, the better daddy I'll be. The better husband I will be. The better wife a person will be. The better child a person will be. But it's all wrapped up in one thing, and that is that book right there. It's all wrapped up in that book. You show me a person that struggles, and I'll show you a person that's not wrapped up in the book as much as they ought to be. But if you wrap yourself up in the book, I will tell you this, that the Bible talks about that those words abide in you, and as those words abide in you, it helps you to be able to make right decisions in life. Here's what it says. John chapter 14, verse 2. The Bible says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That word mansion is simply the same word as abide or abode. He says, in my Father's house is many abodes. It's many places to abide. Now, okay, so wait, watch this, okay? So if I'm abiding in him here, then when I get to heaven, it's not going to be a shock when I get there. I think when some people get to heaven, they're going to get shocked. Somebody's going to shout amen, and they're going to jump out of their holy drawers. They're going to be scared to death. You know why? Because they're not used to hearing that. Now, my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, you ought to be so into truth here that if your last breath here is going to be your first breath there, then it all only ought to be a step, not a shock. You ought to be living for God so much here that your next step there is not going to be a shock. Well, I didn't know it was supposed to be this way. This is what real Christianity is like. But it ought to be so natural. It ought to be just be a natural step. See, here's what we understand. We understand this. We understand that you ought to love God enough, love your family enough, rather, to walk with God. We understand that walking with God means going somewhere. We understand walking with God means that you give your entire life. We understand walking with God means living with God. Statement number next. Walking with God is always doing what he says. Walking with God is always doing what he says. I don't have a vote. I don't have a dog in the race. I mean, it's all God. Now, here's what the Bible says. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? All right, so we need to be willing. What that means is this: we need to be willing to go anywhere he says go. We need to be willing to do anything that he says that we're supposed to be. We need to be willing to say anything that he says to say. My whole life ought to be charted by God. Billy Sunday would be in the vehicle and they'd be riding alongside each other, Billy Sunday and Maul Sunday. And Maul Sunday said, Billy, I can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out. I can't figure out who you're talking to. One minute you're talking to me, and the next minute you're talking to God. One minute you're talking to me, and next minute you're talking to God. I can't figure out who you're talking to when you're supposed to be talking to them. So would you please let me know when you're talking to me? All right, he was so used to having a conversation with God that he would intermix his words and having a conversation with God while riding in the car, and also have a conversation with Ma Sunday, his wife, while riding in the car. It was that natural with him. It was that natural for. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, he said, God, he said, I want to be so close to you that when I pray, I say, God, I love you. And you look down from heaven and say, Charles, I know. I know. Now, it ought to be that close. The Bible says that Moses spake unto God as a man speaketh unto a friend face to face. That's how close Moses was. Like a man would speak unto a friend face to face. Face to face. Nothing but face to face. Face to face, Doc. All right. The Bible says about David, a man after God's own heart. That's how close they were. Wouldn't it be good tonight? You say, but I tell you what, I don't have any friends. You have God. But you know my friends, they don't understand me. Okay, may I tell you tonight, God understands you. But you don't understand, Pastor. There's just no way that I can make it. You can make it with God. All right, watch this. Some of the deepest valleys you ever walked through in your life will be some of the greatest lessons you will learn. Stay with me now. Not about others. Not about others. You can't see others in the valley. It's dark. You can't see them. But some of the darkest valleys you ever walked through in your life will be some of the most precious that you ever have in your life, because that's when you understand the realization of God. That's when you understand it. Can I tell you this? And may I help you just a little bit? The men that I know and have rubbed shoulders with through my ministry, the ones that God uses more than others are those that have lonely walks with the Master. Lonely walks. They don't need somebody to hold their hand. They don't need somebody to pat them on the back. Oh, it'll be okay. No. Every single one of these men that have had opportunity to be able to walk beside, if they were going to be somebody that God used, they all had lonely walks. Every one of them, lonely walks. May I say that, can I tell you tonight that walking with God is simply doing what he says to do. We submit ourselves to him, whether it brings joy or not. We submit ourselves to him, whether we understand it or not. We submit ourselves to him, knowing that he knows what is best, though I can't explain it myself. Now, tonight, we understand that if you love your family, you should walk with God. Now, I'm talking about this is the premise of making right decisions. You cannot make right decisions apart from God. Can't do it. Can't do it. If you love your family, you should walk with God. Statement number two, walking with God means going somewhere. Statement number three, walking with God means that you give your entire life. Statement number four, walking with God means living with God. Statement number four, statement number five, walking with God is always doing what he says. Statement number six, walking with God is seeking what he seeks. Seeking what he's, okay, watch this. You ready? You ready? There's been times where Mrs. Wells or I have laid down the keys. One of us has laid down the keys. Now, you do that when you're 50, and you don't know where you laid them. All right, if she lays down the keys, here's what she says. She says, Mike, have you seen the keys? And I say, I don't think so. If I lay down the keys and I can't find them, I say, Sylvia, have you seen the keys? And here's what happens. We will begin to look for those keys together. Together. Can I tell you something tonight? If you're lonely tonight, there's nobody that wants you to have fulfillment more than God himself. Nobody. If you've lost something, you've lost your joy tonight. There's nobody that wants you to have more joy than God himself. What you have to do is you have to find your course in God. Now, here's what he says. Here's what he says about seeking what he seeks. Walking with God is seeking what he seeks. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So what is he seeking? He's seeking the lost. He's seeking the lost. He says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So what does he say? He says, as you seek the lost, I go with you, even unto the end of the world. All right, so what takes place? As you're seeking the lost, as you're walking with God, it will cause you to seek what he seeks. What does he seek? He seeks the lost. He goes with you. He says, and though I am with you always. So as you win souls, he goes with you. Now, he doesn't say he'll go with you as you read the newspaper. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say he'll go with you as you sit down and watch a movie. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say he'll go with you as you go down to Brahms on a Wednesday night after Bible study. He doesn't say that. But he does say this. He said, if you seek what I seek, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. All right? And as you seek what he seeks, look, you're here tonight, and you say, but preacher, you don't understand. I've lost my joy. Your joy ought not to be in anything other than Christ. If your joy is in something else other than Christ, you may never get it back, because you're trying to get it from an area that cannot give to you. But if your joy is in Christ, you can always get it back, because he is the joy giver. He is the one that will help you with your joy. Oh, watch this, I'm almost done. Here it is. You ready? Walking with God is walking according to the Scripture. Walking with God is walking according to the Scripture. Okay, stand up, Jonathan. You're my son. Stand up. All right. Now, stand here, if you will. Stand right here. And I say, we're going to go over there. I don't want you to come. I want you to turn your back and get mad at me. I say, come on. We're going to go over there. We're going to go over there. No, I said, we're going to go over there. Follow me. We're going over here. All right, get the picture. Here's the picture that God gives. The picture that God gives is this, that walking, stay with me, walking with God is walking according to his Scripture. Jonathan, here's what the Bible says, and let me tell you what to do, because here's a Bible principle. Now you obey it. Son, I love you. I'm not just your daddy. I'm your pastor. Now here's what you need to do. Well, aren't you going to do it? I will if you want me to. And what do you think I told you for, huh? And all right, watch. Walking with God is walking according to the Scripture. Thank you. Be seated. Let me give you some Bible truth. Okay. Walking after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." All right. So what happens? There's a walk. Now, what's a walk? A walk is a forward direction. It's a forward direction. We're going somewhere. We're accomplishing something. All right, how do you do that? You do that according to the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh. Flesh says, I don't want to get up on Sunday morning. Hit that snooze button for the eighth time. You're not supposed to say amen there. And all right, and I don't want to walk after the Spirit. I want to walk after the flesh. I don't want to say amen to that preacher. He just stepped on my toes. Okay, that's where you do say amen. All right, and so you all right. So a person walking is walking after the Spirit. It's walking in honesty. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. The Bible says, "And let us walk honestly, honestly." All right. Wait a minute. What is it? It's walking in good works. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on two good works, which God hath before ordained." It says that we should walk in them. All right, so what am I doing? I'm finding good works and I'm walking in them. I'm always trying to do good for somebody, for something, a good work, a good measure. All right, wait a minute. What is walking with him? 2 John in verse 4. The Bible says, "I rejoiced greatly when I found my children walking in truth." Many of you have signed your Bible, and they're church members, and a lot of adults, I was signed 2 John 4 underneath my name. Now, why? Because here's what it says. It says, "Rejoice greatly." He says, "I rejoiced greatly when I found thy children walking in truth. Walking in truth. All right? Walk not after the manner of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, For ye are yet carnal. And it says, and whereas it says among you is envying and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? All right? So here's what he says. We're not supposed to walk after the manner of men. Then we're not supposed to walk in craftiness. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, not walking in craftiness, but it says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So you don't use the word of God to tear somebody up. You use it to be able to instruct them and help them and to guide them. All right? It says this. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 that we're not supposed to walk. It says in vanity of our minds. It says, walk not, it says, as the Gentiles walk in vanity of their mind. All right? Then we're not supposed to walk disorderly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, and we command you, brethren. It says, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he has received of us. All right? So what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to be a person that decides that I'm going to walk. Now, by the way, again, you heard that word walk how many times? Over and over and over and over again. Here's what God says. I walk this way. I walk this way. I simply walk this way. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to sit down. I'm not supposed to suck my thumb. I'm not supposed to stand somewhere. I'm simply supposed to walk in obedience to the word of God. People that don't walk and think that they're people that please God is not true. By the way, if you do walk with God, you will be odd. You will be odd. You will be different. You will be peculiar. How come you don't listen to rock music? Oh, I walk with God. Well, how come you don't say the dirty joke? Oh, I'm a Christian, walk with God. How come you don't go down to those wicked, wicked, dark places at night? Well, I just believe the Bible. Just believe the Bible. Just walk with God. You know, you'll be different. Now, let me give you one last thought. Here it is. Walking with God means meditating on God. Walking with God means meditating on God. All right? So we meditate in his word day and night. You know it well. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right? So what do? We walk with God, and we meditate in his word. Meditate. Now what's that mean? That means to chew the cud. That means you read it and think about it. Selah. Pause. Don't make a decision. Selah. Pause. Think on it. Meditate. Chew the cud. All right? And to meditate on him day and night. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And it says, and then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. All right? So what am I doing? I am meditating on him. Not just in his word, but on him. On him. What's that mean? That means you stare at him. You gaze at him. You watch him. You pay attention to him. You give reverence to him. All right? And that's what it's talking about. Then meditate on him in the bed and through the night. Psalm 63 and verse 6. The Bible says, and when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You ever do this? You ever have trouble going to sleep? You ever have trouble going to sleep? Here's what Lester Roll, if you say. You have trouble going to sleep, you start praying to God, and the devil will rock you to sleep. He'll do it. The devil will rock you to sleep. And you start praying. Start going over your prayer list. Start praying, and the devil puts you to sleep. All right? You won't walk with God if you don't meditate on him. Here's what it says, Psalm 119, and I'm done. Psalm 119 and verse 97. It says, love thy law. Oh, how, it says, love thy law. This is what it says. It says, it is my meditation all the day. My meditation all the day. All right? So here's what God says. God says that we're supposed to walk with him. How do I walk with him? All of a sudden, preacher gets up, and preacher preaches on something, and you say, oh, I see that. I need to obey that. Here's what I do. I take a step in obedience. But are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter how big the step or how small the step. The important thing is obedience to the step. That's what the important thing is. You said, "What? I tell you what, preacher said this. I know I need to correct that in my children, but I'll put it off." No, don't put it off. Don't put it off. No, when you see it, you correct it. When you see it, you correct it. All right? You say, "Well, oh, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart about this, and I think I'll start it next month." You don't start it next month. You start it when God tells you to start it. Now, may I tell you tonight, the key in making wise decisions, statement number one tonight, is simply walk with God. Now, may I tell you, some people walk with God early in the morning. They do. They're morning people. Some people walk with God in the afternoon. Some people don't get up to the afternoon. Some people walk with God. That is their morning. Some people walk with God in the afternoon. Other people walk with God at night. At night. I think you ought to give the best part of your day to God. Some people work the night shift. You work the late night hours. But do you walk with God? By the way, you're not limited to walk with God only in the morning time. Did you know that? You know, you could read your Bible in the afternoon and God just might speak to you. You know, you could read your Bible in the evening time and God just might speak to you. Did you know that? Did you know that you have a God that wants to speak to you and God wants to show you the way in which to walk? But once God shows you the way in which to walk, it becomes your responsibility to take that step. Your responsibility to take that step. One more time, stand if you will. And so I'm his daddy, I'm his pastor. And I say, "Now, here's what I want you to do. Just come over here. And all right, and let's go over this way. And if you don't mind, let's go this way too." Okay, now wait a minute. There's a fellowship. Now, wait a minute. God in heaven speaks to his heart through that word of God. When God shows him through that word of God, and here's what he should do. He should, and by the way, there's not two gods tonight. There's one God tonight. All right, so here's what happens. We walk. You know why the soul winning crowd is growing? Can I tell you why the soul winning crowd is growing? Can I tell you why the soul winning crowd is growing? It's not because you got a great preacher. It's because you have a great book. And some of you are waking up to the fact of, this is what I need to do. Because it's obeying God. You know why the cheerfulness and the good spirit is abiding in our church? Oh, it's not because all of a sudden we start laughing on the platform, having a good time like we often do. And it's not because somebody comes down the hallway and they're skipping, "How are you?" It's not because of that. It's because you're spending time walking with God and God is lightening up your spirit. You want to have a good marriage tonight? Walk with God. You want to rear good children tonight? Walk with God. You children want to obey your parents tonight, be all that you should be, walk with God. Can I ask you, when's the last time you walked with God? When's the last time? You know, we're gonna teach a series on making wise decisions. You cannot make wise decisions apart from this book. You can't do it. It's impossible. You say, "Well, I don't know the book." Then you get with somebody that knows principles. You get with somebody that knows the book. And you say, "Look, I don't know what I should know. I don't know all that I should know. Would you teach me from the book? Don't give me your opinion. Not interested in your opinion. Just teach me the book. Teach me the book. Show me the principle. Show me the decision I need to make according to the book." All right? And you get somebody that will help you. I'm saying tonight, making wise decisions. Where does it start? Starts in the book. And it starts as you walk with God, and God will help you.